am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own.
Well, hi everybody. Again, my apologies, but I was on Skype and Skype went down, so at least on my end. So here I am back again and welcoming you yet again to Purpose Talk Radio on this wonderful Labor Day, September 2nd of 2013. It is just, it still amazes me how quickly the time is going by. So our theme song is I Am Who I Am. And it's by True Trinity, the group True Trinity. You can find them at TrueTrinity.com, TrueTrinity.com. It's an amazing group, a trio of some pretty powerful women. Cindy Freeman, who is our facilitator on this show, and starting next week will be the host of the show. And with the other members of the group are Jillian Clark and Rachel Martinez. So it's a pretty exciting day all the way around. We've got lots going on here. And just welcoming you once again. So today is Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers, Contemporary Women Spiritual Leaders. Again, this is the last, well, not the last, because we've got one more week of the Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers series. And next week, I'm going to be the guest as the author of the book. So I hope you'll join me there. But today we have Lady Tiana Mirape and Zelda Hoteling with us. And they're very, very different. You know that throughout this series I've tried to get people who have different philosophies and different focus on the work that they do, all working on spiritual life and spiritual training. And throughout the whole season, there have been so many commonalities between the people who've been on the show. It's just been amazing. So we'll see what happens today, because Lady Tiana deals with the goddess Sophia and Zelda deals with Native American philosophy. So I'm really excited and anxious to see where these commonalities are going to show up today, if they do at all. I want you to remember, or remind you in any case, that you can call in and talk with my guests or myself, and that number is 347-205-9074. Remember, if you want to speak with my guests or myself, you need to put in, when it comes up there, give the option of speak with the host. And that puts, on my screen, it puts a little question mark beside your name, and I know that you really want to talk to us. Otherwise, I'm thinking you just want to listen. So there you go. When you call in and you just listen and you decide you want to speak, unfortunately, you're probably going to have to call in again and change that number that you've chosen to listen to the show. So today we have two cards. It was pretty amazing. The two cards showed up for our card reading. And so I'm going to read, I actually picked one for Zelda and one for Lady Tiana. And when I put them down, I don't know which is which, but I have a feeling when I look at the cards that they're going to know which one relates to them because they're pretty distinctive cards. The first one is called the Surprise. And the Surprise is a card we've had before, and it's just a most amazing card. It shows a young girl who is sleeping. And while she's sleeping, there are all of these beings around her. One of them is whispering into her right ear, is an old crone, is a gnome, little old crone gnome, or a little old gnome crone, whichever you want. Anyway, she's whispering into the girl's ear. And there's another gnome, an old man, who is leaning against her forehead, has his hand against her forehead, and is looking at her, almost like he's kissing her on the forehead. Behind him, there is a large, I'm not sure if it's a mouse or a rat, but in any case, it's a large rodent, and it too has, believe it or not, it has a smile on its face. All these beings are smiling. So there's that mouse or rat that's there, and it's smiling. They're all looking at her like they want her to wake up and see them in reality. And beside the rat, there is an old gnome, looks like a Merlin, kind of a sorcerer-type character. And he, too, is smiling, and he has his hands folded in front of him. And then beside him, there's a great big grasshopper. And the grasshopper has one hand up in the air, and is, believe it or not, that grasshopper is smiling, and it's evident that it can smile. And beside the grasshopper, there's a very large toad. And the toad also has a hand up in the air. And it's like all of these creatures are saying, come on, wake up. We're here. We want to connect with you. But you have to wake up. And then in front of the toad, and by the girl's face, there's a little glow worm. It's a little worm, and there's a big glow around it. And it's the closest to her, probably because it's the smallest. And all of these beings want her to wake up. Stop dreaming and wake up. And that's true of all of us. It's time for us to stop dreaming and wake up and live our philosophy, live our belief. Find your foundation. What is it you stand on? What's the belief in the philosophy you stand on? And wake up. See your helpers. They're here. They're all around you. They want you to wake up and see who they are and know that they're there for you and they're there to help you on your way. The other card is called the Message of the Angel. And this is a card we've never had on this show before. I'm really glad because I was asking for a brand new card. So here we go. The angel, the message of the angel shows a young woman sitting. Oh, I think she's pregnant. And she's sitting on a chair. Her gown is kind of an icy blue with a little bit darker blue trim. And her hair, it almost looks like candles in her hair. So it must be the background of where she's sitting. There's an alcove there, and there are decorations in that alcove. And then there's an angel facing her and playing a violin, playing that heavenly music. The music, the message of the angel coming through. All of us have a message to give. Every one of us has a message to share with the world. And that message is ready to be birthed in each of us. In some of us, it's already there. In some of us, it's a brand new message that we're ready, a brand new project that we're ready to bring to the world and for the world to be able to say, or to tell the world the message that is coming to us from the angelic realm. Because those messages that we listen to in our hearts, in our soul, those are angelic messages, and those are messages for us to share with the world. But we just need to listen. And in this card, this young woman is listening, and she's focusing. And she has her right hand, her left hand open, up in her lap, open, and with her right hand, she's holding her solar plexus, which is why that gown gives the impression of pregnancy. So there's some sort of a project, of a new idea, of a new message coming through her, and it's coming from the angelic realm, and it's time for her, for you, for me, for all of us, to birth these messages. So the cards, wow, they really are the same. The messages wake up. See who is here surrounding you, your helpers, whether they're animal helpers or angelic helpers. They're all here. They're around you. They're giving you messages. All you have to do is wake up and listen and birth whatever it is that you have to bring to the world. Wow. Those are amazing. See, I told you September was a time of a new year, of new birthing, of a time of new beginnings. And here it is. It shows up in the cards. And I know very well it's going to show up with our guests as we talk today. So again, if you have questions or you want to talk with us, call in. The number is 347-205-9074. You can also connect via Skype if you would like. You have to have a Blog Talk Radio account. It's free. So just go to blogtalkradio.com and sign up for an account, and then you can Skype into the show and be able to talk with us in that way. Okay, so we are going to bring in, first of all, we're going to bring in Zelda. And we're going to ask Zelda, which card, Zelda, did you think resonated with you the most?
I really feel
you're
the
on.
Both of them.
Hi, I took you by surprise.
Huh? Hello?
Zelda, I think you're on mute, so you need to unmute yourself.
How do I unmute myself?
Oh, there you go. Now we hear you. Now we can hear you.
Okay.
So tell me what you thought about those cards. Which one resonated with you the most?
I really feel I can relate to the both of them because I'm always living in the surprise moment. And the project that I am doing is all in that realm of the star beings. So it's definitely telling me to truly open my ears and listen to every message that is being spoken to me and what parts of myself that isn't awakened and a time for birth. So the birth is awakening. So I really feel that both resonated with me very well.
Awesome. Well, I was surprised at just how similar they were in their messages. I don't know why I was surprised. I shouldn't be, but I was.
Yeah.
Well, Zelda, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, who you are, where you came from, and how you discovered your passion, and what exactly is your passion?
My passion is my creativity and listen to spirit. And when I was a young, a very young gal,
okay,
my grandmother.
I'm having trouble. I'm sorry. I'm
can you hear me?
I can hear you, but it's kind of kicking in and out, and I'm not sure if that's you or if it's the system. Ah, Cindy just said they hear you fine, so it's me. Okay, go for it.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. So anyway, at a very young age, I always worked with my grandmother, and she always did a lot of the beadwork and creating a lot of beautiful things. So my hands were always working with her, and her stories were always being shared with me as we worked in the songs. So as I grew older, I steered away from what she used to make, and I started going into what I love to do. And my passion is being outside, being with the earth, creating things from the earth without buying anything. And that was very adventurous to me because anything that I picked up, it was such a spirit that came alive of whatever creator had me make, may it be a musical instrument to a beautiful art piece. And still to this day, I am creating and listening to spirit. So what I am doing right now, creator gave me a vision last year to create, and this is where I say those oracle cards came in a good way because I had a vision to make a 7-foot dream catcher. And
That's
crystals and copper.
That's going to take care of the whole community of dreams.
Well, it ventured out. a little while later into making two more for the 12:21 shift. That was so I created the three of them. And we had a big ceremony, and everything was all lined up. It was so beautiful. I didn't even know where I was going to have it until about a week before. And right up the road was a church that was a sound chamber plus a dome.
Oh, wow.
It was incredible. And so many people showed up, more than I can even imagine. So at that point, after we did that, I had another vision that they asked me to make four more for the seven generations. And to start carrying out this being the vertebrae of the turtle's back. And it will help the planetary shift of whatever is going on in this world and to align the platelets and the meridians, but not only of the earth, but awaken those sleepy minds and to allow them to run their energy and awaken where they can transform within themselves of who they are and coming into that base, which is love.
That's
so
awesome.
At this point, Creator said to me this fall, I was standing at my counter, and they asked me to resign from my job. Because now they need me even more. So, lo and behold, within 3 days, I drove school bus, and I was on a field trip, and I ended up downtown in my neighborhood here, which is the retirement place. I walked in there just to see all the information about it, and within 20 minutes, I walked out with a folder, and I retired, and wasn't even planning on it. So Creator has everything all set up for me. After that happened, then number 8 came in. And so what number 8 is, it is the alignment of all the personalities of people so they will not be able to wobble as much as we do. When we know it's right, we go for it. When we know it's wrong, we step back from it. So at that point, I've been working busy with them and also doing a couple powwows, but I'm a drum maker also and a rattle maker. I do a lot of musical instruments to help shift the vibration, the frequency of what the planet has.
So your calling now is to help shift the vibration of the planet. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I love your concept about the vertebrae and the organs of the body, of the earth body.
Yeah.
Would you tell me those again?
There is 8 altogether, and I just got this information not just too long ago after I resigned. Then they, when I say they, Creator gave me the information of how the alignment's going to work. And the way it is with these 8 so far, is the vertebrae is the ribs of the turtle. And this is Turtle Island. They also told me that all I need to do is stay here in the United States because every walk of life is here. Every culture, every ethnic background, every type of spirituality is here. So we'll touch on every individual whoever wants to come because they'll be open for that. So what this is these vertebrae is the platelets. And the platelets have been shifted where it is throwing everything off balance. And humankind has been diverting the energy by all these different ways of how they're disturbing the planet. And in that way, this alignment will allow each individual when they walk through, because it's going to be set up where they're going to be on each other's side of each other. So it'll be like a line of them. So it's like going to be a snake formation. And the eighth one is going to be on a pedestal. So you're going to be walking underneath of what your personality is that can transform it into balance, which they said when you line these up, what it's going to be, that is going to be the vessel, and it's also going to be the veins of the earth, the veins of the mother, which we as the people are the blood. The blood will circulate our platelets, which will allow that balance.
Hmm. Wow. That's pretty heavy-duty stuff.
It's interesting.
Yes, it is.
It's that's why I said with the oracles, because I work so much with nature, but these are the star beings that are giving me all this information. So each one, the first one is intention, the second one is action, and the third one is the heartbeat. The first one is like the breath going in and out. And what the intention is hold the frequency of love. The second one is the body system, the whole body system, the four body system, and how it works and how it generates, not only in the earth body, in our own body, how every organ holds deep thoughts, deep impressions, deep imprints of our suffering as we grow. The third is the one that has a drum in it, which is the heartbeat. And that heartbeat will penetrate out. And when it hears the drums, it takes that vibration of and that frequency of love, and it transfers all the way into that heart and pumps it out into the body. The fourth one is the cultivator, which cultivates now from four on to eight, is going to have the imprint and the frequency of number one. And where each one, number four is the one that will start stirring the earth before you plant the seeds. You know how you have to cultivate the earth, give it good things, good ways, good thoughts before you plant. The fifth one is going to be called, which it was called the germinator in the beginning, which is all black. Each one's a different color. By the time I worked through a lot of that teaching, at the end when it came out, they look like three sets of angels, which is like a tripod. Three sets of angels coming in into the beginning. And each one is sacred geometry, metals of brass and copper in them. And in that place where it comes into the one, what it turned out to be is not the germinator anymore. It's heaven coming into earth. Where the angels are coming in, the weaving is all going to be in white. All on the outside is black. The sixth one is the orgasm, which is like a pinwheel energy. And that is like the essence of the orgasmic flower, when the flower comes all the way up to where it's the full potential it can give. That's that opening. And number seven is where it becomes the infinity. So I'll have the infinity, a big infinity. Number eight is the personality of people. And I don't know if I'm saying this right, but somebody told me after they saw it, it was called like an endogram, E-N-N-E-G-R-A-M.
Yeah, enneagram.
And that was the design that came to me, and I didn't even know anything about it. So that one there, you have your personality. Then what is called is the wings, one on one side and one on the other. One's a positive that people call it, and then people call it negative. But it's just a different way of frequency for me, a different energy. But when you go through that walk, that will come into just a little bit more imbalance, or you might get just a tiny bit of awareness.
So what are these eight things? They're eight what?
They're seven foot dream catchers, which has sacred geometry, and what I call the project is called Shifts Happen in Threes and Beyond. And what this project is going to do as of right now is it's starting to move, because the vision that was told to me is to bring them around the United States and place them into different places that have healing, places of healing to go to. When they complete, which hopefully that will be by next year, but already they want to move. So mm-hmm. I'm birthing each one, like I'm birthing like one at a time at the equinoxes and at the solstice. But the first anniversary is December, and that one there is when they're all going to come out, whatever that I have. But on the equinoxes, I only bring out the first one, whatever one is being birthed.
Okay. Interesting.
It is, and it happens in Castleton, New York. Somebody says, why in Castleton? And I says, because I live here.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to bring in Lady Tiana now and give you a breather.
And
I'll be back to you with questions, but you're not going on mute, so you can
jump
in. Oh, good,
so I'll be able to hear her.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, hello, Tiana. How are you today?
Fantastic. Oh, my goodness. It was so wonderful to hear what you were sharing. Zelda, please come to Goddess Mountain with your magic. This is amazing work you're doing, weaving. It's beautiful, just wonderful.
So tell me which card resonated with you the most.
Yes, both cards.
The angel or the bride?
I work with them all, you know. Everybody, it's the same to me. It's you know, the earth and of the air and of the sky and everything we're doing. All of us, all over the world, with the same message. It's such, you know, we started the program with the end of the program. You know, wake up, wake up. There's a new way to be, and we're creating a third road, and we're aligning with our extraordinary assistants like you are. It's so wonderful to meet each other on the matrix that we're all creating and holding space for this magic to happen.
All right. Well, I need to let you all know, all the listeners and Tiana and Zelda and Cindy, that apparently there's something in the atmosphere here in Oregon, or in this area of Oregon, that is causing Skype to crash for me. And I'm on my phone right now, and it keeps cutting out. So I'm only hearing portions of what all of you are saying. So I'm going to ask you to bear with me if I ask a question that you've already answered. My apologies. But we'll just go with the flow.
Fine.
There's nothing else to do but go with it. Tiana, how about if you tell us a little bit about yourself? You're a little bit muffled, so we need to have you try and address that. But tell us about who you are, where you come from, and how you discovered your passion, and what is your passion?
Oh, my God, it's such great questions.
Thank you for changing them.
Yeah, that's better, yeah, because I'm not on speaker anymore. Great. You're muffled, though.
Okay, that one.
Yeah, you're muffled and we're going in and out. Can you hear me, though?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. So, passion. Everything, passion. Which question should I answer first?
Well, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and where you come from, your background, or how you, and then how you discovered your passion?
My name is Lady Mama Tiana Sophia Mwa, and I am ordained priestess of the Will of Avalon and High Priestess of the Temple of Sophia. That's my titles, yeah. And I also was just ordained a Hebrew priestess, a Kohenet. So I've been ordained three times. and I also was never looking for a religion. I was running from religion and was just involved in spirituality and woke up one day and went, oh, I'm ordained priestess. I'm in a religion. So I'm in an unreligion religion in that I, Temple of Sophia on Goddess Mountain, which was gifted to me through Goddess. She said, build me a temple. And, you know, basically, when you know, as you know, when the divine speaks in whatever ways that he or she does, you say, thank you. You don't say, what are you talking about? Who has that kind of money? I have no idea how to do such a thing. You don't argue. You say, thank you. And so it is. And Goddess Mountain got built and created. And with my jaw open and dancing and laughing and crying and just awed by the experience of building a temple on a mountain in the woods in western Massachusetts. And what we do is, indoors and out, we turn the wheel of the year with the equinoxes and the solstices and the cross quarters, and we weave in the ancient tribal Judaism that my roots speak to me of. And where I come from is from what I call the Holy Lands of Crown Heights in Brooklyn. My parents were Holocaust survivors, so I was brought up in the aftermath of the Holocaust to a family of Hasidim and Orthodox people who were deeply, deeply damaged and grieving and wretched and in so much heaviness and pain and had lost their spirit, their ruach, they'd lost their civilization, they'd lost their people, they'd lost everything and had been through, you know, concentration camps and such things is what I was born into, and their only child. And, you know, somewhere in my teens, I was, even at 3 years old, I was like, why did I pick these people? What's going on here? And how can I get far away from them? Because they were so damaged. But I realized that from birth, I was trained to work with trauma. And from birth, I was, you know, why was I born to these people who were so damaged, whose numbers on their arms I would look at and try to understand the pain behind the beauty behind the pain, the person who was there before all the damage was done. And, you know, so my gift.
Wow, that is really hard.
It was harder then than it is now, you know, and so all of my work and for so many of us is, you know, seeing beyond people's hurt side. To me, I've been doing a lot on this last solstice, this big turning has been cracking open the geode. You know, and seeing that those layers of rock and protection and shields and sharp edges aren't who we are, that we're in none of those stories of who we are, but when you crack it open, we're this galactic beauty that is connected to all things, and that's who we really are. And so we're shedding the past like snakes shed their skin, yeah? And we're reinventing ourselves, and like you said, creating new DNA, new blood, new bone, that we are healing things seven generations back and seven generations forward. And it's such a gift to be the ancestors this time around for the next seven generations to bring a new paradigm of loving kindness. So my people's, you know, where I come from was suffering and suffering and suffering. And my work, my passion is dancing in bliss and living in the light and celebrating the freedom and peace that we have right now in our lives today. Instead of, oh, someday we'll be happy, someday there'll be peace, let's pray for peace. I'm like, I got it now. There's no gun to my head. There's no Gestapo on the end of the road who's stopping me from doing everything I want to do. It may not be the perfect country, but I am living in more freedom and peace than thousands of generations. And every time I've gone somewhere and looked at the civilizations that I was in my past lives, my passion and gifts was also remembering so many past lives and seeing the civilizations destroyed, yeah? And going, we're back. Hathor was destroyed, and she's back. I was in England, in Glastonbury, looking over the fields and the mountains and seeing how it's so different now than it was hundreds and thousands of years ago. But the goddess is back, and better than ever. And we're doing our magic. You know, we're remembering the lore. We're waking up. And I was going to, as part of my Kohenet, my priestess training path, I was going to, Spirit told me to go to Auschwitz to do healing there, to do healing for the ancestors there. And I wrestled with that because that's the last place in the universe I would ever want to go.
Right.
And I have much training in Buddhism and Hinduism, and what happened is because the depression was so great in my upbringing, I ran away to discover my teachers, which was Ram Dass and Krishna Dass and Swami Muktananda and Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche. So these wonderful teachers that came into my life, that showed me there was alternative ways of thinking and believing. And so I thought I would go with the local Buddhist program that goes each year to Auschwitz. They do a witnessing Bernie Glassman's Peacekeeper project. And so I thought, okay, I have to do this. And my children said they'd go, and my partner, and my teachers, and my students, and all these wonderful people stepped up and said, we'll go with you. Because I'm like, there's no way I can be there for anybody but myself through this process. But I have to go and do healing, and thank you for being there for me, because it's my turn to receive. But then I put myself in therapy, because the same kind of work I do for others, healing others through their trauma, I said, I need to heal my trauma. And I came to the realization, Jen, that there's no way that I could go to Auschwitz. There's no way that I could not be traumatized all over again. And that's not helpful to the matrix to bring more sadness and grief and darkness. My work is to heal and bring joy here in the present moment and for all of us to live in gratitude and peace and joy. And then I read from Torah for the first time in my ancestry, except for my daughter, after I was ordained as a Hebrew priestess by a lake barefoot under the trees, as my ancestors wished they could have done for thousands of years. And that's what I brought instead. So I think we're transforming, we're transmuting, we're moving out of the darkness into the light, and we're honoring those who came before us by living in that joy and dancing for them and saying, yes, these were your prayers, my ancestors, that we live in peace and freedom and that we enjoy our lives and live in prosperity. Yeah? So we are. We're living their dreams, and we're living our dreams. As you said earlier, Jen, it's really remarkable.
So there is a lot of the commonality between the two of you is reimagining, transforming and recreating the whole earth and the people on it.
Yes, yes. And the goddess spirituality really brought me to a new place. And now we're doing God Us, GODDUS, in that I'm training. Sophia is a school originally it was just for women. It was the Sisterhood of Priestesses, Healers, Intuitives, and Alchemists. But then after about 8 years of that, God has said, you have to train men too. They want to serve as well, and they need to know how. So now we're God Us Mountain, GODDUS, and men and women are stepping up to become the Tree of Life, yeah, and embody both aspects and all aspects in a complementary way. It's an exciting time, isn't it?
It is. Zelda, were you going to jump in and say something and I cut you off earlier?
Oh, no. I was listening. I didn't think that you could talk right now. Nope.
Oh.
I thought it was her turn, and I thought you said I was going on mute. So I've been walking around the house listening. Oh,
me too. That's good. Well, first of all, before we go any further, we've got a caller. Kathy has a question for Lady Tiana. So I'm going to bring Kathy in. Here we go. Hi, Kathy. This is Jan. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm just fine. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maryland.
From Maryland. Okay. And you have a question for Tiana?
I do.
All right. Well, go for it.
Hi. I'm working on my life purpose, and I'm trying to find out what it is. How did you find out what yours was?
Well, I think when we learn to breathe, ground, and center and align our mind with our heart and our gut and our body, and we live in all four worlds of mind and emotion, you know, which means relationship, aligned with our body on this earth walk, aligned with our relationship with spirit, that you hear, then you know the yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
You know, instead of, most of us make our choices out of fear. We're afraid to do this, so we do that. You know, we're afraid to be single, so we get married. We're afraid to be married, so we get single. We're afraid to not have a job, so we grab the first one we can find, you know? So this is when you get the yes, 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 you know you're choosing your right path and that you're so on it. You know what I mean?
So is it hard to get out of fear? Because, you know, I've been told by mediums that I'm still in fear, and I've been working very hard on trying to get rid of that.
Welcome to the human race. And it's really, it's our greatest challenge, but love is stronger than fear. So every time, as our teachers were saying earlier, we resonate from a place of love, we clear the fear. Because the fear is of losing what we love, whether it's our freedom or our beloveds or our children or our health. There's some or our income or our livelihood. But when you come from what you love instead and choose that, I work with couples and they often tell each other what they don't want. Instead, then I have to help them correct them to say what they do want. Because it's way easier to respond to what somebody wants than to react to what they don't want. And, so aligning yourself with love for yourself and doing all the chakra clearing, yoga, dancing, Tai Chi, whatever works for you thing that helps you clear your chakras so you can listen to your own deep chi, your own true knowing, then you'll know.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
So,
it's
ever changing as well, our life purpose.
Yeah, I'm still
away.
Here.
Before you go, we put you back on mute, let's get Zelda into the conversation and see what she has to say to your question, okay?
Okay,
Great, Zelda, you're fine.
Okay, thank you. I really liked your message of what you said. It was very beautiful. And to add to that, it does all base around going back what you truly love. And as being a human being, we are so gifted with all these different emotions that every time that I have an emotion, I always go back to what does the little girl want from me? What is that part of myself that is crying to have attention? Because when fear comes up within myself, my grandmother always said to me, it's only that the little girl wants attention. So that fear, if we could switch it into attending to the attention and go to that place and love that part of the self that is afraid, and hold it for that moment and love it, it usually subsides a lot of times. And then I usually ask myself, is it my truth? Is that truly my truth? And is that truly what I really want to do?
Wow.
And what my thought is every time, does it work for me or doesn't it? Because I'm working through whatever I want to do. Because anything that I go to a place and I want to help or assist or whatever you want to call it, you're going to go there and not want to be there. So you're going to have another fight upon yourself. Mm. So what is it that is for you, your purpose? Your purpose is to live, to listen, to love yourself. And once you love you in some way, and it's not saying, all right, I love me, looking in the mirror, I love me. It's not that. It's about come into that place within yourself and say, wow, look at how far I got from that point to here. I love myself that much that I had the courage to step forward just a tiny bit more. Mm-hmm. And each step you take, you're following the next step and the next step and the next step. And you gradually grow into what your passion is, what your purpose is.
And that's why the journey's so slow, because of what you just said. You have to grow.
Mm.
Well, I think it was from the Course in Miracles that says everything is based in either love or fear. It's that simple.
Yeah.
It comes down to two things, either love or fear. So we can feel it in your body and know, is this, I always ask myself, is this decision based in love or fear? And I feel it in my gut, in my solar plexus, and you know that kind of sick feeling when you're in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the feeling I have, then I know that I need to look at, all right, what would this decision be if I was coming from a place of love? And the other thing that I've done a lot, particularly recently, is to recognize that I have the divine right to be happy. I have the divine right to live in love. It's not a privilege. It's my right. It is my divine right to have everything.
Okay.
So, Kathy, how's that?
Sounds great to me. Thank you for your advice.
Leveling up, loving you up.
Yeah, love you up.
Give yourself permission.
Right.
Give yourself permission.
Thank you.
You're not less than anything else in this world. Give yourself permission.
All right, Kathy, I'm going to put you back on mute.
Thank
you. I hope you stay for the rest of the show and keep on listening.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. And I want to remind everybody to join us on Facebook and go to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group and ask to join the group, and Cindy will make sure that you get into the group, and then you can join the conversations there. And hopefully, Zelda and Tiana, you'll join us there also after the show and answer questions and put some more information in there.
Thank you.
So let's keep going on. I want to know a little bit more. You two both have discovered that your purpose is to transmute the energy of the earth and of the people on the earth. And those are really big missions to have.
Mm.
How do you do it without being overwhelmed?
You laugh a lot. You know, callings are callings, and I'm sure, Zelda, you know, for you was a calling as well. For any of us to step up, we are humbled. We are so humbled and grateful to have this part in the dance, you know. One of the first rituals I ever did, the humans were only one part that was called in, you know, the star people called us in, and the dolphins and the whales, and you know, the human part was just one aspect of the different connections, and it's very humbling to serve Goddess and to serve the Earth in whatever way we do. So we're just stepping up, doing our parts, you know. Just grateful that I get to do this time around again.
All right, that's great. And Zelda, how do you keep from having it overwhelming you?
Life is just life. And I look at life as it just being an adventure every moment, a story of every moment. Mm-hmm. And everybody that comes to me or talks to me or the children that are around me, I just listen to the stories. So that I don't get emotionally attached to their story, or they're emotionally attached to their way of thinking. I just watch
how it unfolds, and I just ask questions all the time. I don't try to fix, change, or manipulate them. I just stand there and just listen, and a lot of times what I have noticed, just by being still and quiet, that's all they really need is someone to listen to them, and I might say just a little thing here or there, and it will pop the whole energy of what was spinning them. And at that moment, I get so much teaching because it shows me how much to be still and to watch everything around me and be aware of everything around me. Someone asked me, doesn't that tire you out, just like you're asking? And it doesn't, because it's just like if somebody turns on a TV. I don't watch much TV, but it's just like that. They turn on a TV, and they sit there, and they zone out. And what they do is they zone into the program, and that's how come it scares them, or you get so involved in that program, and you can't wait for the next episode, is because you're emotionally attaching to it. So I just watch everything as a story and just be still, and whatever their creator needs for me to say to them, because my creator meets their creator. And I just stand there and let them, let Creator tell me what I need to do next. So that way I'm just a vessel and I'm not doing anything.
Isn't it amazing?
Opening. Yeah. I want to piggyback
really
on that. And that for me, I've also learned that the self-care piece is really, really important, and has become an important part of the teaching in Sophia, is the importance of self-care. And, eating non-GMO organic food that is really food, taking herbs instead of pharmaceuticals, drinking clean water, walking the talk, actually walking the talk, being of the earth and doing all that allows me to step up and do everything I need to do. Otherwise, if I'm sick, my magic can't come through me fully. You know, when I've had mercury poisoning or lead poisoning or any of the things I've dealt with, it was blocking my health from being all that I could be. So part of teaching is teaching people to get healthy and to be aware, and really their body is the earth. And we aren't separate, so you can't give the earth poison and think it's going to do well, and you can't give your human body poison and think you're not going to get a mental illness or a physical illness or an autoimmune disease. So, I do a holistic medicine, and I'm always looking at the why. You know, why did somebody get cancer? It's not because God is sitting on the cloud saying, I'm going to mess with you. It's because they've been, exposed to a lot of toxins and poisons in their life, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's finding out the why. So I'm a big advocate, and one of my passions is really, taking back the earth as clean food, clean air, and clean medicine and nature. So that self-care piece, even saying that, I had to learn to delegate. I took on way too much, too much, and I think a lot of women do. We're so good at taking things on and even self-sacrificing to the point of getting sick. And that taught me a message at one point when I was really sick, and I said, Goddess, why? Why am I sick? And she said, because you do too much. I go, yeah, I know, but why am I sick? And yeah. that's of course. So after I emailed all my students, I said, from now on, you all are putting on the rituals, and they did. They all stepped up. So, I trained them to do the work, and now they're doing it. So the mentoring piece in sharing it and teaching others, because as you said earlier, we all you both said, we all have it. We all have the wisdom and the beauty and the direct connection to the divine. But what gets in our way is stuff. And some of that is physical, mental illness, it's chemicals. We're not made by DuPont, we're people of the earth. And that's what the word pagan means, pagama, people of the earth. So, I'm people of the stars, but I'm not a person of Monsanto. So, so I think the self-care piece has made me really, I'm so grateful for my health, because I work 40-hour week, now 50, 60-hour week, and then I go dancing. And then I teach all weekend, and we go dancing. So I'm really grateful for the energy to do to pass this on. And then when I see my students healing as well, they're getting off the Prozac and the Zoloft and all the junk that people are getting on that they don't need because they don't have a Zoloft deficiency, but they probably have a mineral deficiency. You know, it's really gratifying to see people heal when they start walking the talk. So I think that's an important piece.
Yeah, that's really true. To see people heal when they start walking the talk, that's a huge one.
Huge. It works.
Yeah. So I have a question for both of you. First of all, I want to let our listeners know that both Zelda and Tiana are featured in the upcoming book, Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers, Contemporary Women Spiritual Leaders. And that's going to come out in September, October. So stay tuned for that announcement.
Oh,
and,
beautiful.
But I want to ask the both of you a question that I asked you in the interviews that we did is, what advice you would have for people who are, now you've got your students who are, you've delegated to, both of you have students who are taking over certain aspects of what you're doing. What advice do you have for them when they're dealing with the people who are just awakening to their spirituality or who are new on the path of self-discovery and spirituality?
I can go if you wish. I teach everybody to be there to find their authentic self, and to help others find their authentic self. Right, whatever that is pure joy, to step out of ego and be their happiness and to walk their talk. And as powers of example, the newbies. You know, newbies are the best. Before just awakening, it is so exciting to work with them because they are so hungry.
I agree with that. It sure is.
Zelda,
what about you?
With the people that I work with, I pretty much just keep on sharing with them to be with themselves and to listen. That's the most important thing, because a lot of people need that support, that they know that it's safe, and whatever they're going through, sometimes you don't even have anything to say to them, because the process, the minute that somebody talks about a process, they say that it's already been healed. It's getting it out of the body now. So what are options that I share with my students, like to go get a massage, to work on going out and giving yourself a little bit of excitement or gratitude of being here. Also, because they are just awakening, what I call that is the wow syndrome. And so they're always in the wow. So how is it that you can bring them back to be in balance instead of so excited because they're blown open? So what is great opportunities for them to come into, bringing them into that place of protecting, not in a protecting where they have to run around and think that everybody's hurting, but in that process of opening is about being aware and how is it the energies are coming in. So that's where I help people to understand my students, that part. So if anybody comes in that direction, the number one thing is that I always ask is, how do you protect yourself? And so many people, they say they put their protection on, and then I ask them, how far out is their energy field? And I share with them how far out their energy field is. And if it's in a distance, you know, a couple steps or more, then what is happening is people are entering into the energy field.
Mm-hmm.
So that there helps what you call the newbies, the people, the children that have awakened,
mm-hmm.
that they come, and they really want to know. What I hear them saying is the children want all this love, but not to have them lead from the heart at that point. They have to come into, because it's lovely loving everything, but in the meantime, you're being very vulnerable. So coming into that place of allowing them to be safe
Because what happens that I have seen when they're blown open like that, if they don't have that sense of awareness of how to come into a protection, then their spirituality might get shut right down because something hurt them energetically or whatever it may be. And I've seen a lot of different people shut down so quickly, and then they don't move forward. So my thought is with each individual is to show that so they can keep on continually moving forward, their inner child being safe, because that's where all the stuff is. That's where all the hurt is. That is where everything goes down into that little child and remembering. So, and people that are more aware, they can poke in on that and hurt them if, you know, if they don't have some sort of alignment with them. So
that's where
I would go.
I saw a lot of that happening. I saw a lot of that happening, particularly around the December 21st, 2012
yes.
time where there were so many people who were seeking, who were newly opened, and like you said, blown open, and they didn't know how to protect themselves, and they ended up with multiple things happening with people taking advantage of them, and some of them who decided that they really couldn't handle it, and they ended up housebound.
Mentally flip. I have seen them mentally flip. Emotionally flip. So
yeah, right.
it's about.
But sometimes the challenge is with. I've run into also these people who have just been blown open and say, "Well, now I know it all, and I'm open to spirit completely. Whatever happens, and I don't need to protect myself." And they haven't. It's scary to me. To have somebody
well, you know
talk
what
to me.
I say to that person? You know what I say to that person? You come back to me and you tell me how that works for you.
Yeah, well, I agree.
And
it's really not healthy.
You bring up a really important point that there are a lot of many, many talented, empathic people on the planet who are being blown open without the training for protection, for shielding, for discerning. For, you know, people come to me, am I psycho or am I psychic, you know, and some are both, some are
yeah.
one or the other, but, you know, we you know, and when people come to our rituals, they're coming into sacred space, they're learning how to, we're very clear about how we set those protections in our sacred work and why we do it, and, you know, make our rituals part of, teach as part of the ritual, what we do and how we do and how to work with their energy within a safe, you know, creating that, as you were saying, Zola, creating that safe container is so essential for being able to do the magic, to be able to,
mm-hmm.
to do the transformational work for anybody. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's what I teach my students to do with their students is first of all, we believe in Maitreya, a Sanskrit word for loving kindness and unconditional friendliness is we welcome everyone to Goddess Mountain who comes here with a loving intention, you know, and willing to participate and be part of the magic and not a spectator, you know, who wants to commune with
mm-hmm.
nature. We create that container. And, you know, so the container is safety. We have guardians. You know, it's really we're working it because we've all had the experiences of make these things happening with very, you know, talented psychic people who are blowing out the whole nervous system. Their kundalini energy is going zowie, and they're completely ungrounded. Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, we've all gone to drumming circles, and people are loose, they're all over the place popping. So before we drum, we ground. If you ground first and you know, set all those, you know, protection places and working with the spirit guides and the directions, now we're good, you know, you're grounded, you can raise, and you're ground again. And it's learning how to work with these energies. It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
But with loving kindness, we are so, I've been to places where nobody ever welcomed me. I traveled all over the world looking for Ruach, looking for spirit, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and it was really important to me to find home where people welcomed me. And so when people come here, we go out of our way to make people feel welcome. Because I think that's a big deal on this planet to see. Because we're all from another place where we, you know, all of our ancestors, except for our brothers and sisters who were born here as Native Americans, First Nation people who were Holocausted. We've come from everywhere, so we're all strangers in a strange land. And it's really wonderful to be welcomed and to teach people how to do that safely, to create the containers.
Right. One of the things I've made clear with people and talked to people that I work with is discernment and healthy boundaries. These are really, really critical. And being able to set up your own protection, your own ability to discern when an energy or person is healthy for you and when you turn around and walk away.
Yes, yes. And we've all had those lessons. I've had many.
Yeah.
The heart says, but I love him. And the head says, run fast and far. And the deep she says, are you kidding? You know, again, you didn't learn it the 14th time. So, yeah, we're humbled once again. But, you know, I also work with the Kabbalah, and I work with the Tree of Life and the aspects on one side that are the male divine sacred male emanations of the divine and the divine sacred feminine emanations of the divine and the relationship between the two. And the strength, interestingly, in the Kabbalah is on the side of the women and the loving kindness on the side of men, the male on the sacred masculine side, which I'm not sure if they got it right or wrong. I'm still determining. Were they wiser than I think, or did somebody just flip it around? I don't know. But either way, it's interesting when we embody both so we can discern. Because if you're just in strength, you're kind of more aggressive and strong and critical. And if you're just in loving kindness, you tend to be passive and get walked on. So when you put the strength and the loving kindness together, we have real discerning with compassion for self and others. You know, now we're in the equation too. I'm always learning. And finding that our roots, our ancestors, were geniuses. How do we do all that without universities and internet? And yeah, look at we're evolving into this homo luminous beings beyond Homo sapien into something more that's that partnership and sharing the dream, sharing the vision, and we're all living that dream and vision. Very cool. Mm.
That's awesome. Well, tell me if there's a I want to tie into that for a minute. There's because what you're talking about bringing masculine and the feminine together in the course that I teach, the body linguistics course that I teach to body workers, counselors, really to anybody who wants to know themselves and others better, is to recognize the difference in it actually shows up in their physical body, whether they tend to be. I don't use the words masculine and feminine as much as I use rational, logical, or intuitive, emotional, creative. And when they can balance those two, and by looking at their own bodies or looking at your client's body, you have the opportunity to help that person learn how to do that on a very physical level, which, of course, then deals with emotional and soul growth. It's an amazing, one of those things that Spirit gave me, and I kind of put it off for a while, and then they said, Jan, you need to do this. You need to teach this.
Because it's the language of the body, and it explains the language, you know, the language of the heart. It shows up in the body and the language of the mind. And the language of the soul. So, the body is this wonderful vehicle, this great temple, this wonderful shrine that... we're getting to heal and live in all those four worlds in our bodies, but also embodying, as you were saying, emotion. In the world of emotion, in the world of the heart, many women live in that world more than the world of the mind where the men live. Yeah? The rational, what you were saying, rational, what was the other half of that? There's emotional, intuitive, and rational,
logical.
When a woman does rational, logical, men think she's amazing because she's thinking from, you know, not just from her heart. And when men are emotional and intuitive, we think they're enlightened. You know,
If
a man thinks, you know, there's been wonderful teachers of sacred sexuality who have figured out, you know, for men that the heart is connected to their penis, and these are like enlightened men. You know, oh my God, really? It's spectacular that you've worked that out now. I'm so glad. So, you know, it is, we're all awakening. And we're all awakening to all those sides.
But
so the complementary,
well,
not the opposite.
Well, it's been fascinating for me to look at it, and I love hearing you talking about it as well, but it's been fascinating for me to see when you look at an infant, you can tell if that infant is going to be to grow up to be rational, logical, or intuitive, emotional, or a balance. Very rarely, it is like 0.1%, if that much, where somebody comes into this body totally balanced. So you can also, you can look at that baby and tell right away how they're going to grow, and that gives you the opportunity to help them develop their quote-unquote undeveloped aspect. So if they come in really rational and logical, well, develop the part that is not their strength.
Well, that's
because
their
when they
strength.
Come in,
that's
I'm
their
sorry,
strength.
Say again?
That's
well,
their strength.
Strength. You'll see the strength in the side that is the most prominent. And so if a child comes in and is really rational, logical, then we know that we have to help them learn that emotions and intuition, number one, exist, and number two, are viable. And there's lots of ways to do that, of course, with games.
So the way that I look at that, Jan, is when I see that's their strengths. And why is because that is what their teachings and what they're going to be going towards and building from.
Right.
So in that, I look at it as strengths because it gives many opportunities for the elders to come to that individual and keep on pulling that up even stronger and stronger to that individual wherever their journey goes into this life.
Right. And when
It's a balance of that male and female. The way that I look at it is any type of things that I do in workshops is that it's that family within the self. It's that family of the mother, the father, and the child, that trinity. And with that spirit, how is it that we take that whole family and not having a part of this or a part of that, but just being as a whole family and creating it to the place of what their journey is in this life and to help them in that way.
And I agree with that when you're dealing with adults. But when you're dealing with a baby, with an infant, they don't yet have that. And so it's the adult's opportunity to help them learn to become more integrated by the time they're 10, 15 years old, rather than waiting until they're 20, 30, 50 to finally get some of this. So to recognize that.
So when we go back to that, the way that I look at it is when we come into this world, we come in as a whole. And we have everything there. It's the adults that separates our wholeness, that separates the limit, the fear, the judgment, and the separation. From 0 to 7 is when we start listening to the adults of how it tears those parts of ourselves down because we're in that judgment of saying, this is what needs to get fixed or what, you know, where we can help it. It's to the point of looking at it in all aspects and the whole of everything because it comes into a balance. There's no separation. From 7 to 14, they get all those negative imprints and they start playing it out. From 14 on to adults is where we place it, that this is the way we're going to walk.
And this is why I'm saying, this is where we differ a little bit, Zelda, is that I'm saying that when you see that child, I agree with your timing, but when you see that child who is up until 5 or 7 years old, you have the opportunity to help that child already become integrated. So when they don't have to start listening to a lot of the negativity that goes on and a lot of those messages that are delivered in a relatively authoritarian way. But what you can do is by teaching that child to become more integrated, even by the time they reach seven, then by the time they get into their youth and their teenage years, they already have a head start on integration and balance in their lives. So then they start growing and they start finding, they start becoming clearer about their purpose in life. And I agree with you that the side that I'm calling undeveloped is their purpose in life. When you've got somebody who comes into this world who is totally rational and logical, their lessons and their purpose in life is all about relationships. It's all about learning how to become, to deal from the heart and to deal with relationships. Every single one of their lessons will be around relationships. When you've got somebody who comes into this earth who is completely intuitive and emotional and seat of the pants and all of that, a big part or all of their lessons and their training is going to be on how to become a little more self-sufficient, how to take responsibility in their life for their consequences, for their actions, their words, their deeds. And these are things that as children, as little teeny babies and children, we can already start that process of helping them to become integrated. So they don't have to wait until they're adults to all of a sudden try and figure out how to become more balanced and more integrated and get those messages. It's already coming in there. So
that baby needs a good, loving parents that can see that. I work with children. I go to schools and I go to children's camps all summer long. So maybe I'm on that fence of where I see these little kids in preschool, and I see them, you know, there about 12 hours a day in these preschools, and so who's teaching them is not the parents, it's other people. So they get a lot of pull. So a lot of the children don't have a lot of parents that are in that way. So My way of speaking was going towards that way. So my apologies if I was sharing in that way, in a strong way. It's just I've been with the kids through the summer, and you hear all of that. You hear all of that separation. So we pray for these children to come into a balance of parents that are in that place, that they can teach them that. And,
and
it's the parents
that we have to teach.
It's the parents we have to teach, because a lot of parents don't know how to do it.
Exactly.
I've also learned that a lot of us come from very dysfunctional, sick, really dysfunctional families, those of us who come well in the world. And somehow we found a way, even though we got some really seriously negative, abusive messages, we found our path. And so I trust these children. You know, sometimes they have a teacher like you, and you smile at them, and their whole world changes. You know, one connection that smiles and says, atta girl, atta boy, and, you know, it can heal a lot of stuff. So, you know, I'm just about, all I can do is shine my light and keep on shining and invite children to come here. And you know, I really love it when babies and children come and do ritual with us and, you know, and learn how to be, you know, be part of the ritual. A lot of things that were just for women, we now include men and children so that it's a community and a family thing, and that's how children learn. So, you know, my parents couldn't teach me what they didn't know, and I don't blame them for what happened to them. But I had to be I had to learn to become a very, very different kind of a mama, and to walk my talk, and so I think you know we all, you know, I come in and go, I look in the astrology chart the same way. This is what we're born with, and now what do you want to do with it? You know, here are the strengths, here are the weaknesses. Let's go. I was born blind, and you know, it's not a problem. You know, half blind, and it's not a problem. It doesn't get in my way, but it taught me how to go inside, and there was a gift there.
Yeah.
You know, every place has a gift, and you know, the poet Mary. Wonderful poet named Mary somebody, I can't remember her last name, has this wonderful poem that says, Someone once gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to realize this too was a gift. And so I think all of our shadow selves that we bring out into the light, that happens in our children, is to be, you know, to for us, you, me, you, the other person, all of us, to do the best we
to
can.
Strengthen.
To strengthen whatever, and, you know, to have to do what we do. And that adds our light to the matrix instead of the darkness. You know, it doesn't help me. It doesn't help me or them to suffer for them.
That's right.
They did a lot of embodying suffering, and it doesn't work for me. I witness suffering, but I embody compassion. And and so I see these children like I, like you, we came in with lessons. And this is a curriculum, you know. And, and we're teaching yoga, and we're, you know, eating, you know, we're sharing the lore. You know, Zelda, you're giving them a light. You know, you're giving them a hug.
Yeah.
You're giving them a something to believe in that maybe they go home and never get. But, oh, my goodness, there was this amazing woman who smiled at me today and talked to me about the eagles and the feathers. You know, I don't know. You know what I mean? It changes our world, those moments.
And as we speak, it's just changing the concept of the adults, too. So that's good. So we are very strong individuals. We are on a mission, and the mission is to bring in that supporting love in any given way, and to bring ourselves back home internally, and to bring that balance wherever it may be.
Yeah,
I truly love how I love how the both of you expressed your ways of thinking, and it brings things forward for many of us, and whoever is listening is really beautiful that they needed to hear all aspects.
Well,
that is real.
Let me ask you both, speaking of those who are listening and want to connect with you, I'm not sure if you have any courses that you're teaching or that you'd like to talk about, but I'd like to offer you that opportunity. And then your contact information, websites, emails, Facebook, that kind of stuff.
Okay. I have a lot of upcoming events that I have. I'm a drum maker, and I go around all up and down the East Coast creating drums with people. And that is what brings what I was talking about, is bringing in that balance of the male, the female, and the child, where you rebirth and you reconnect with all aspects of yourself and go through a process of healing. It's just not making a drum with me. It's the place of what is your medicine that you're holding, and what is it that will help you heal every time that you pick up that medicine tool. Also with the rattles, and I have some classes, Are You Into It? And it's all about the fear, judgment, limitation, and separation. But these are all at my home, or you invite me around this area. I also have that project that's going on called Shifts Happen in Threes and Beyond, which is going to be moving around the country. And from that point, I'll be doing workshops there. My contact information is www.zelda.com. And what else did you ask?
Well, if you want to share email or Facebook information are you? If people want to take your drum making, how do they contact you?
I'm in New York. But I go up to Maine and down. I've been all the way down to Pennsylvania so far, up and down these East Coast area, Connecticut, New Hampshire. I'm going to Nantucket in 2 weeks, which that's going to be nice too. So it's the East Coast, but I feel if people would like me to go out towards West, there's a couple people that have been asking me to come their way, one in Seattle and one in Arizona. So if I can line up a few where I'm traveling and doing the workshops, I'm open to that. And my email address is pinetree
hotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelhotelh Healing is my Facebook.
Right.
Thank
Jana,
you.
Jana, how about you? Well, first of all, Zelda, I want you to come teach my students in my community.
Oh.
We're going to have to connect and make a workshop happen up at Goddess Mountain.
That will be lovely.
That would be awesome.
That would be lovely.
That would be really amazing. And you're not very far. Are you in New York State?
I'm 20 minutes from the Mass Pike.
Oh, where are you? What town?
I'm in Castleton, New York.
Oh, lovely. You're not far away at all. Great.
No, I'm not. I was just in Bellingham a week ago.
Wonderful.
Doing drum making. So I don't know where that is with you, but
not too far.
Yeah.
So I'm in Western Mass and in Montague, and I live on Goddess Mountain, and that's where my school is. And Sophia, the school of Sophia is an anagram. Sophia is the goddess of wisdom, and it's also an anagram for shaman, oracle, priestess, and priest. Healer, intuitive, and alchemist. So it's a now 5-year program. It started out less than that, but now it's turned into 4.5-5 years because it's an apprenticeship to learn all those things, how to be a shaman, an oracle, you know, how to do psychic work, and how to serve community as a priest or priestess and be ordained, doing rites of passage, doing rituals, all of that. And then, healers, so teaching various herbal medicine and plant spirit medicine and homeopathy and nutrition and all kinds of energy healing, and alchemy in terms of working with magic and craft. So I kind of combined all of those because it's what I do. When I became a psychotherapist, I felt like I was working at the level of the mind and the heart, but it wasn't enough, and I had to also work at the level of the body and integrate Tai Chi and yoga and somatic work. And then I realized that the body, even that wasn't healing enough, that you had to heal at the level of spirit, and, you know, went on a spiritual path, and then realized you have to heal at the level of soul and to really heal the generations and the DNA. And so I reinvented myself as a shaman and, as a medicine woman and a healer who works at the level of the soul. And many times in the work that we do, shamanism is really the piece that I'm finding is the most effective, whether it's lifelong depression or past life stuck places or ancestral wounds that are all showing up in this life. The shamanic healing is just amazing. I'm in awe every time, in awe to the level of healing that happens. And my daughter, when she was in naturopathic medical school out in Arizona, went to see a shaman out there, a medicine man, and he said to her, "Oh, you know, your ancestral line looks pretty clear." And she said to him, "It's not me, it's my mother." So it was really nice to know that in one generation that I had healed so many pieces that the generation that was already born was already healing her DNA.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to do that. So that's what I teach. And the classes are 4 or 5 times a year they've been 5 times a year for a weekend. And then all of the rituals and rites of passage, turnings of the wheel. And it's quite the commitment, you know, for people to take a path of becoming a priest, priestess, or shaman in the world. So I want them really trained well. It's a really good apprenticeship program. When they graduate or they're ordained, I feel like they really, really are aligned with their highest purpose and on this sacred earth walk. And it's exciting to see them go out and do what they do and the way they do it, because we're not a liturgy. It's about people's connection with their own lineages that we encourage, as well as the Sophia tradition that we've created. So sometimes I teach Muniki. Muniki rites are Peruvian rites that were shared here, and sometimes I offer that to community as well, and that's wonderful. And I always teach my students pass the initiation rites to them as well, and then they pass them on to others. So everything I teach, we pass on. It just seems like, you know, just keep on passing it on. So, and what do you have a website for that?
Yes, I think so. I think it's Tiana at TianaMirapay.com, maybe. I'm also, my email and probably my priestess of web is going to be mad for me to give out my home email, but it's LadyTiana@Verizon.net is the easiest way to reach me, because I think I dropped my Gmail account. I can't remember my password. So LadyTiana, T-I-A-N-A at Verizon.net. Facebook is great. Because Tiana Mirapay, I'm easy to find because I'm the only Tiana Mirapay, M-I-R-A-P-A-E. And that's always a good way to reach me, send me a message. And we haven't had a website up for Sophia yet. I was kind of, and still am, until we did a lot of radio shows, not quite on the radar, still between the mists, you know, not on the GPS yet.
Okay.
I find that spirit, those who are supposed to find me, spirit sends them from all over the country and all over the world, and they come, and I don't know how they find me, but they do, and we're back together. It's kind of wonderful. We're all teaching each other, as you know. And so I'm mostly stationed here. I go to a lot of pagan festivals and Jewish renewal festivals, and teach about different things there, you know, whether it's magic and Torah or the Kabbalah or, you know, healing and shamanism. It's all the same to me now. So, yeah,
okay.
Right,
and I want to let our listeners know I'm going to do my own plug here now. I'm teaching a course. I'm very excited about this. There's a course coming up on October 9th and 10th in Portland, Oregon, just outside of Portland, and it's for body linguistics. It's to level one to become a certified practitioner for body linguistics.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the follow-up course is in November, also here in Portland. There'll be another course in the winter in Florida, and then in the spring there'll be another one in Massachusetts. So I may get to see the both of you at that point in time.
Ooh, that would be very exciting.
Yes.
What
about Massachusetts?
Well, my niece is graduating from physician assistant school from Northeastern. So she lives down south, lives down closer to the Cape. It doesn't matter. I'll be in New England.
Beautiful.
I'll do a course in New England somewhere.
Wonderful.
Meeting you, Jan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah, really, really. And then my contact information is jan@bodylinguistics.org, and that's the website, bodylinguistics.org. So go there and you can check it out. And you can also contact me at jan@purposetalkradio.com. So I want to check with you both now and see, as we're getting closer to the ending time here, what have we forgotten? Is there something that you want to share that we haven't gotten to yet? Tiana, let's start with you.
What do I want to share? I got puppies. And that's brought the level of joy to an even higher level that I didn't know was possible. So, you know, it just keeps opening the heart, the lotus keeps opening and expanding the more you ground and trust and work with the divine and all of her emanations with nature. It's remarkable. But I live in bliss all the time. You know, it's when people are, you can't be happy all the time. Like, well, you're miserable all the time. So happy all the time. And so I really think that everything we're doing works. You know, it's really what you're doing out there in the world, what so many people who are holding the light are doing, it really works when we do it. You know, many people say, oh, I haven't done meditation, yoga in 30 years. I wonder why. It used to be so fun, you know. Or when people come to me and they say they're depressed, we say in shamanism, when did you stop dancing? And when did you stop singing? You know? So when you start doing the things you love again, and find the balance and come back to your authentic self instead of the ego who had to get a job to make so many much amount of money and sold their soul to corporate America. When you come back and you crack open the geode, we're so happy to all be together and really blissfully grateful and humbled to work with the divine and all these wonderful aspects. And I think we, you know, your book, Jen, is the trailblazer theme is what's happening. We are blaze trailing. We are creating, you know, new ways of how to be in harmony with the earth and with genders and with our enemies as our friends. You know, how do we move through this? And people want Palestinians, Israelis to make peace. And I go, heal this what's inside of yourself first. Heal this what's inside of you and who you hate and who you haven't been able to forgive. And heal your neighbors and your family and your community. And now the world will heal. So it really, each one of us is an opportunity for the whole world to change every moment. So I'm really grateful for that.
Awesome. Zelda? Did we miss anything? Is there something else you'd like to share before we
just
close
a tiny,
out the show?
I just want to share with whoever and even out in the world that everybody does belong, everybody does have a purpose, even though that you don't know what your purpose is. There's many gifts. Just look inside, because you could be cooking, you could be just helping in some way, and whatever you enjoy is your purpose, and that is how you live, and that's how you open up your heart. So one other thing that I do is bone readings. I do bone readings, animal bone readings, and I meant to share that, and that helps. It doesn't go into the future. It's about here and now. And I do a lot of that, the work to help people come into their own power, because you have it in you.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Actually, ladies, I do have a question for you. Cindy submitted this a while ago, and this seems like a really good time to present it. So I'm going to read her question, and then you guys can give your responses. She said, I understand the emotional confusion and the scariness of being new and needing the protection. It is odd when all of a sudden there's a flood of energy and information and not knowing what to do with it. I personally go from nothing for a time to a flood of energy, as I did this weekend. It causes confusion and wonder, and I wonder if it's right or wrong, or my imagination. I don't know for sure what is real when I hear messages from myself or others, or whether it's ego or my mind setting the message forth, because I think that's what it should be. She says, when I am getting an energy overload, my body just feels differently, and I can't explain the feeling. It's like an out-of-body experience.
Right.
So go ahead and talk to that.
So for me, whenever that happens for me, I go and I write it down. And I ask Creator to help me siphon it. And I sit there with it and I just sit in prayer and let it resolve within the self. You have to take time a little bit, but you have to get that energy out of your body. And a lot of times if you're not working around, as to using your hands in some way, what I do, because that's how I release a lot of energy, is through my hands. So when I write, even though if it's and not really knowing if it makes sense or it doesn't, it doesn't matter, because it's information. And you'll be able to siphon it later on. But it's just getting it out of the body in whatever way. And I like how some people, like you were saying, is to dance it out, work it out. It just feels like you have to have some sort of movement, whatever it is. Crank up your tunes and just, you know, shake it down, get into the earth. You might even need to go outside and take your shoes off and just walk on the earth and start breathing that energy, breathing the earth energy to bring it and ground it into your body. And whatever comes in, even though if it's ask if it's for the goodness of the whole for you to keep it or not, Creator will know. I go to my boss. That's my boss. I go to the boss and I say, well, boss, you know what? whatever my best friends are around to help me with this, if I need to write it, walk it, sing it, jump it, dance with it, whatever it is, just ground it, and then whatever doesn't belong will siphon out. Because that's the way that it just is with the Creator. The Creator is always there, and it's about having that trust, trusting yourself that much. That Creator is always there to help you.
I agree with Zelda with everything she said, and it's all, you know, breathe, ground, center, learn how to ground yourself quickly during these things. Flower essences, rescue remedy, stepping into water. Water seeks earth. Imagining you're in a creek standing or in the ocean. Water seeks earth. It'll ground you. Putting your feet, as Elvis said, on the earth and against a tree, grounding your energy back. Epsom salts and water will also ground you. Mayan flower baths will ground you and release all the negativity. Whatever it takes to get you back to your center when you feel out of it. And as she said, asking, is this for the highest good for those for all concerned? And you know, even the best of psychics that I know often wonder, you know, is this me? Is this my ego? Is this really spirit coming through? And then you just go, okay, here you go. This is what's coming. And you get out of your ego. Right. And with practice, we figure it out that, oh, I couldn't have made that stuff up. That really wasn't me, was it? You get to understand the energetic signature of the different spirit guides. Mm. And mm-hmm. not all, you know, spooks that are disembodied are enlightened. So we have to be careful about
right.
And so, hey, just because they give us messages doesn't mean they're positive. And so learning how to, you know, create your own safety circles, creating your own womb of protection in your own healing work for yourself and getting messages asking only spirits of love and light to come, really important too.
Awesome. Great. Yeah, thank you very much.
Only benevolent ancestors also.
Mm.
I'm just calling the whole crew. Some of them are crazy. Only the benevolent ones, yes. The wise benevolent ones.
All right. Great. Okay, well, we are pretty much at the end of the show, and I'd like to thank you both for being with us, and I hope you'll join us in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group on Facebook and join any conversations that are there and post your information, your links and your information there as well. And I want to thank all of our listeners for being part of the show today and for... well, just being with us. I want to remind you that next week our guest is me, Jan Revelle, as author of the Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers, and we'll be talking a little bit about how that came into being and where it's going to go from here. And then I'll also be sharing a little bit more about the body linguistics. So remember, go to bodylinguistics.org. You can contact me at Jan@bodylinguistics.org or Jan@purposetalkradio.com. And we hope you will be with us again next week. I know I'm forgetting something, but in any case, I want to remind you as well that our theme song is I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity, and you can find them on True Trinity. Cindy Freeman, our fabulous facilitator, will be the host next week, and I know she's going to do a fabulous job on it, so I hope you'll all join us at that point in time. And for now,
Jen,
I want to
thank you, Jen, and thank you, Cindy, and thank you, Zoe. It's an honor and a pleasure to connect with all of you.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
you, Anna,
very much. Yes.
And thank you, Zelda, for being my guest as well. And
thank
so
you,
I
Jen.
Wish you all soul blessings.
Oh, thank
see you,
you
next week.
Right back at you.
Yeah.
See ya. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.